I want to talk about the idea of validation, and specifically, how do we seek validation? Let me describe what I think it could be. Validation is an energy that has the purpose of reinforcing our existence, our importance, our value, our beingness, our doingness, and our havingness. Being validated is a human need, in my opinion. I regularly refer to several sets of needs. I find them to be a convenient way to look at things. And one set of human needs is vocalized as Sfuli plus two. It is spelled S-F-U-L-I plus two. And it means survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity, the need to be right, and the need to look good, get approval. Identity could be who I think and act like I am, who others think and act like I am. And the need to look good is mostly our need to appear positive in the eyes of others and thereby getting approval from them. I could easily make the case that usefulness is also aimed at get validation both from ourselves and others, as we gain skill through our doingness and as we're providing help and being useful to other people. And you see this impulse to be useful showing up in very, very young children. I think it is standard need seeking expression from the earliest years of our lives. For adults, the arena of work is where we largely pursue validation. Some people insist that money is the primary motivation for going to work, but in studies and surveys over the years, they indicate that's not true. Money is sometimes fourth or fifth or even lower on the list of priorities, where validation, feeling effective, contributing to the improvement of a situation is much more important. We try to do a good job. Why? Well, for various reasons, but one of them is so we can have good feelings about ourselves for having done a good job. Well, I did the best I could. I did a good job, and I'm okay with that. That's an important feeling of validation, and it comes largely from ourselves in that scenario that I just described. We also want others in the business or anywhere else that we play at the game of life to know that we did a good job. Because that knowingness, oh, he did a good job, she did a good job, yeah, they're good workers, they're really productive, they're really excellent at what they do, elevates our status through increased validation. Getting along with people we work with instead of creating jealousy increases our chances of getting validation from them, because our getting along with other people is, in effect, our validating them. Because I want to get along with you. Well, why would I want to get along with you? Because I value you. And when I do that, I validate you. The chances are you're going to reciprocate. You're going to go, well, you know, he's a nice guy. I'll give him benefit of the doubt if it ever comes to a situation where there is some doubt about did he do a good job or did he not, or what was going on at that time. When people feel validated, it's easier for them to validate others. Seems pretty straightforward, right? Validation is a powerful force. That seems pretty obvious to all of us. But it's kind of like warm sunshine on a plant. Invalidation is also a powerful force, and it's used as a painful weapon to manage or control. It is, unfortunately, commonly used by people on themselves through belittling and damaging self-talk. We scold ourselves, we berate ourselves, we denigrate ourselves, we chastise ourselves, thinking that these kind of kicks and hits and prods are going to cause us to grow? I don't think so. They cause us to go into the self-protect mode, not into the growth mode. To get validated, who do you try to be? What do you try to do? And what do you try to have in order to get validated? If you could answer those questions simply or after deep thought, you would have a greater understanding of your own motivations and what drives you as you seek validation. And, of course, like a plant, you could understand its direction of growth. I think the law of cause and effect is a great design. If we do it, we will experience it. What could be a better learning system and a more just system than that? Favoritism, chosen people, you know, people that don't have to experience the consequences of their behavior, I don't think that really helps anybody grow faster. There are various ways to describe the law of cause and effect, and the most common and perhaps oldest is you reap what you sow. I could say you get what you give. You feel the effects you have caused. If we say it, we will hear it. If we take it, it will be taken from us. All are variations on that same theme, the law of cause and effect. If you view validation as an energy form, which it is, as a seed form, planting seeds of validation will grow into a harvest of validation. If we're going to reap what we sow, and we sow validation, I wonder what we're going to reap. The answer, validation. I bet you can look back over your life and locate the people who validated you. That validation may have been a single occurrence, or it may have happened more than once. Was it a next-door neighbor's, maybe a parent of a friend? Was it a teacher? Was it somebody in the clergy? Was it the librarian? Who delivered the feelings to you that you were validated, that you were important, that you had something to contribute, that you were valuable? I'll bet that you wanted to be closer to those people, much like a green plant grows toward the sun. Why? Because the sunlight, that warmth, that energy is life-enhancing. Validation is life-enhancing. We're going to move in the direction of validation. We can be trained, well, not to be phototropic like a plant that's going to grow upward toward the sun, but we'll be validation-tropic, that we grow, learn, and strive in that direction. If we've been praised for a certain behavior, chances are we're going to repeat that behavior again and again and again. If we didn't get memorable experiences of validation, we may remember vividly the events of invalidation because they tend to be painful. Unexpected invalidation is worse because we weren't prepared to process the negative turn of events. Now, all of a sudden, this energy has come to us. We don't have any defenses up, and it catches us by surprise. And the seeds of invalidation were planted. I was initiated into transcendental meditation in 1992 when I was stationed in the Canal Zone of Panama. In transcendental meditation, which I learned later in retreats, that the Maharishi said, we had to, quotes, burn the seeds of these events so that they would no longer grow or manifest in our lives. I like that expression, burn the seeds, and then they can't reproduce. It makes perfect sense. It's been shown that people who've been subjected to abuse often turn into abusers. And my theory is that this energy pattern, if it's not healed at the root, if it's not burned, it will seek manifestation. Its growth in a person's mind will cause an imbalance that leads that person to, in order to try to get back into balance, is to deliver that discordant, harmful energy to somebody else. And oh, whew, I feel better now for a minute. That sense of relief is really temporary. And then it's like, oh, it didn't cure anything. It was just temporary relief. And in a little while, that energy has got to be repeated again and again. If a person got abused multiple times, then only had to abuse one time to get back into balance, well, you'd say that's a good trade-off. But that's not what happens. A person is abused once and then repeatedly abuses. Energy psychology modalities like EFT and emotional freedom technique, Tapas acupressure technique, emotion code, the healing codes, and others are designed to contact and allow the movement of that isolated and, the way I describe it, encysted, E-N-C-Y-S-T-E-D, encysted energy. It's kind of like a tumor. It's there it is. It's in its own cloud. It's in its own container. And if we are courageous enough to make contact with it and allow it to move, we come back into balance. Unfortunately, that phrase, drain the swamp, has been co-opted and corrupted, so we have to use, how about lancing a boil to relieve the pressure and allow its contents of the boil to be drained. If you visualize energy patterns that are memories as similar to invisible clouds hanging in your field, making contact with the clouds, connecting to the memories, allows the natural processes that seek to create balance to take over. One of the promises that the divine has made through its natural working, as described by Christ in Christ Returns, reveals startling truth. When after he had been baptized by John, and he's out in the desert, and he achieves enlightenment, or Christhood, is like, wow. The divine is always working for our growth and our nurturing and nourishment and our healing and our protection and our fulfillment of need and more. And naturally, this balancing, this healing occurs. If seeking validation is on a spectrum instead of a binary seek, don't seek, got it, don't have it, we would have a way to represent this. Let's use a horizontal line with a 0 on the left edge and 100 on the right edge and a 50 at the midpoint. This represents the range of validation, which would be to the right side of the midpoint, and invalidation, which would be to the left side of that midpoint. We seek validation, and we seek to avoid invalidation. And in fact, the first driving need mentioned in Christ Returns reveals startling truth, is the need to defend the self from criticism, emotional, or physical attack. Criticism, emotional, and physical attack are forms of invalidation. They're a reduction in our energy. Feelings of vulnerability determine a lot of what we do and a lot of what we don't do. Feelings of vulnerability are almost always fears of being invalidated and how we will react to those experiences. Here's a valuable use of binary thinking, which basically is a set of if-then statements used in typical computer programming. If I take action, I could make things worse, or I could make things better. Okay. If I make things better, I can stop taking action and consider the process to be complete. Or I could make things even better. Or I could make things worse. If I make things worse, either in the first iteration that I talked about, or in the second, I can quit. Or I can make things better. Or I can make things even worse. If I made things better, I can stop. I'm done. I'm glee. I succeeded. I can get a sense of closure. Or I can make things even better. Or I can make things worse. And if I make things worse, I can quit, make things better, or I can make things worse. If we can postpone judgment about ourselves and the progress we are making or not making, we can delay that tendency to invalidate ourselves and cause ourselves pain. Compassion is a very high value morally. So is respect. Most compassionate people earn the compassion by suffering. And when they see other people suffering, guess what? They can relate. They know the pain. They can identify with those folks. Respect can be taught and learned, but not very well by words. We learn respect when we see it, when we feel it, when we hear it, and when we do it. When I used to hear as a child, respect your elders, I would always ask, why? I saw elders do things that were not deserving of respect. Just because they had a given age that was older than me. I once told my 6-year-old daughter Lisa, when we lived in Panama, that she should be more grown up in handling a situation that she was then faced with. She immediately shot back, I have seen grown-ups do bad things, so that isn't a good statement. I caught me off guard, but when I thought about it for 4 seconds, I agreed with her. Being grown up is not necessarily a guarantee of doing something moral or constructive or kind or good. Just because a person is older than we are, that doesn't necessarily make that a good source of validation. A person who honestly validates, not to manipulate, but honestly validates to reflect positives back because it is life-enhancing to the person who's receiving that reflection, and it is also a good idea because of the law of cause and effect. If they validate, tendency is to be validated. They're going to reap a harvest of that. Because healthy people spend time alone with their own thoughts, each of us is the main source of validation and invalidation. And it's likely that what you validate and invalidate about others is what you were taught to validate or invalidate. I will bet that the framework of the 12 worlds that I talk about regularly would be a good way to identify what you validate or invalidate in yourself and others. But before I look at how we use the 12 worlds to identify that, how we validate and invalidate, and whom, I want to explore the means that we use. Humans are 5-sense oriented. It makes logical sense that we process validation and invalidation through our 5 senses. So, we want to hear validation through the words that we and others say to us. We want to see validation by the way we and others treat us and feel about our physical looks and what we've just done, what we said, our physical presence. They would show their appreciation and we would see it. Affinity, and that's physical closeness, is essential to understanding. And affinity is required if you want to have a good relationship. We are validated by closeness and by touch. Women wear perfumes and men wear colognes and aftershave lotions because they want the smells to bring validation to them. Oh, you smell nice. Oh, that's a nice perfume. Oh, you smell nice. Oh, that's a nice aftershave. Right? We brush our teeth and otherwise tend to our dental hygiene before we engage in kissings. Why? Because we want to be validated as compared to have the person that we seek to kiss run in the opposite direction. In the 3rd grade, I was teased by 2 girls one day in class for having dirty ears. I felt terrible invalidation. I couldn't see into my own ears. That would have been the job of my parents. Now, I don't know if the girls were accurate and I actually did have dirty ears, or they didn't know how to flirt and that was their way of flirting with me. But I had bad feelings about myself, and I had bad feelings about my parents, that they would set me up to be invalidated this way. Why didn't you check my ears? Why didn't you check my ears? That brings me back to the 12 worlds. Maybe this topic is simpler than I think. What if validation is an act of love? We seek validation because we are seeking to be loved. That makes sense, doesn't it? What if this doubt messes up people? The doubt about whether we are deserving of love. That doubt, manipulated, gives others power over us. It's a major point of power in religions. If you be or do or have this, fill in the blank, you will be loved by God. And if not, you won't be loved by God, and perhaps even punished eternally in fire and damnation of hell. Oh, okay. The marketing of thousands of products and services relies on this doubt about our deserving love and validation. The constant in marketing is that if you buy, you will be more deserving, more validated, more loved. And therefore, we buy and we buy and we buy and we consume and we consume and we consume. The spiritual world is the first place to look to determine our level of validation. Are we sinful, hopelessly flawed as human beings? Are you plagued by the original sin, which was first brought to people's attention in about 453 AD? So, 453 AD? That doesn't sound very original if it's 453 or 400 years after Christ. Okay. Are we at war with ourselves? Do you have to battle your emotions? Do you have to keep that dark, evil part of you under control? What have you been taught about you and your relationship with your God? Do you belong to the only true religion, which makes, of course, all others wrong and dangerous and mistaken? What does your God expect from you and others, and how well are you doing meeting those expectations? What can you count on your God to do and not do? How connected, protected, and respected do you feel with your God? And you can explore that area of the spiritual world for a very long time for a lot of value. The mental world should be easy to locate events of validation, invalidation, and their overall influence on your self-image and how you view others. Are you smart and many other people are stupid? Or are you stupid and many other people are smart? Do you consider the Einsteins to be completely different than you? Other really intelligent people, are they really different from you? Or have they just focused their attention for a longer period of time on one thing, and then they are considered to be geniuses? That's what Abraham Hicks describes as genius. The ability and the willingness to focus attention on one thing and learn about it for a long time. The filter that you've created from the mental world, that validation, invalidation, is going to impact almost everything that you consider doing in your life. Are you smart enough to do it? Are you smart enough to adjust? Are you smart enough to see the signs of what you need to do when it's time to zig or to zag? Or do you believe, because of your lack of intelligence, you're just going to crash into wall after wall, after obstacle, after quicksand, after trap? How do you feel about your emotions? In the emotional world, you can decide if you can manage your own emotions to help you progress to where you want to be, what you want to achieve in your life, or whether you have to be afraid of your emotions because they may explode and you'll do something that you'll regret, or your emotions will cause you to break down, and that's why you have to keep them under such tight wraps. Do you like emotions and emotional people? Do you admire actors and actresses who can emote? I find that to be so amazing when I can watch an actor in multiple movies, one after another. Like, oh, wow, I saw that person play this role and that role. It's like, wow, what a range of emotions. It's pretty impressive. But do you dislike it when family, friends, and strangers let loose with their emotions? Are you afraid of your own? How do you feel about your body? The physical world is a minefield of danger for most people because we've been invalidated by others and ourselves so often for so many reasons. Hair, skin, eyes, nose, mouth, lips, teeth, chin, necks, breasts, legs, hips. Hips, butts, bellies, right? Feet, toes even, fingers. All of this, they've been made wrong in one form or another through invalidation that can, so it seems almost hopeless to remedy all those problems. I worked in the drugstore throughout my high school and then some of my college time, and it was interesting to me that white people would come and buy suntan lotion. Black people would buy whitening creams. People with straight hair would buy things to curl their hair, permanents, curling irons, and people with curly hair would buy hair straighteners. And later on, after that time, I know people with eyes of one color would buy contacts of green or blue or something else. Whatever we have is not good. You know, you don't want to have skin that way. You don't want to have skin that way. Do you ridicule or criticize others for the way they look, for the way they dress, the way they walk, the way they talk? Or have you been ridiculed for any of these reasons? Talking about skin color, Catherine was teaching in a university in Qatar, in Doha, and she said to people during her period there, I think it was about a month, is there a tanning salon around? I would like to get a tan. And the women didn't understand her. And then she had to explain in more detail to them. And they couldn't understand it. You have the most desirable color skin on planet Earth, and you want to get a different color skin? That doesn't make any sense. We have that other color skin, and trust us, it's not that good of an idea. The whiter the skin, the better off it is. So she left those women shaking their heads, and there were no tanning salons. You can examine your family world, your career world, your financial world, and the social, the community, the political, and leisure world, as well as the maintenance world, for examples of validation and invalidation. And you'll know why you either approach that, you increase the affinity, you move toward it, or you move away from it. And at the end of this 12 worlds exercise, you will know exactly why your life is the way it is. Your life and mine are the way they are because they have been caused. The lives that we live are the effects. Underlying and understanding these underlying causes and the effects enables you and me to cause new, more desirable effects. We can create what we want. We are always being validated by the divine. Always, 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 with no exceptions. Now it's up to us to continue that validation of us, and then by extension, of everybody else. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version from the prayer. Letter 8 in Christ Returns reveals startling truth. See if you feel that you are deserving of love and that you are validated by divine consciousness as I say this prayer. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. Let me repeat part of that. We know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.